Well, it is Christmas Eve, right, kids? And it is a time for us to have a few minutes to talk before we head home and launch into our Christmas traditions, because tomorrow is Christmas. We have a Christmas tradition. We're actually celebrating it right at the moment. Every 2 years, our family comes together, and then next year, they'll all be at their in-laws. So we've got all of our kids and grandkids here. In fact, grandkids, can you wave to me, to Papa? A few of them did. A few of them listened about as well as their parents did to me. But so tonight and tomorrow, family and friends and loved ones and all whatever type, we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate traditions and have a great, fun time this Christmas. I want to talk a little bit about Christmas traditions, because they are wonderful things. But, you know, they didn't all start with Jesus. Some Christian traditions, or some Christmas traditions, were kind of adapted afterwards. So, like, let's take the Christmas tree here. The Christmas tree, for a long time, was a symbol that was used for the winter equinox, because it was evergreen. The greenness was kind of a hope and a symbol that winter was going to wane and then new life was going to start back in the spring. The first people who used Christmas trees, evergreen trees, to celebrate Christmas were the Germans. And do you know who the first guy widely thought that the first person who decorated a Christmas tree for Christmas was? Do you know who that was? Martin Luther. I don't know if it's true. Very well might have been Prince, though. But Martin Luther gets credit. And it makes sense, doesn't it? This is the guy who also turned bar songs into hymns. So he would take a tree and turn it into a celebration. So Christmas trees, wonderful Christmas celebration. But didn't begin with Jesus, did it? The same with giving gifts. Many people have thought, well, it was the Three Kings, but more likely it was St. Nicholas, several centuries after Jesus, who kind of started the tradition of giving gifts. But it's a wonderful Christmas tradition, isn't it? And so tonight what I'd like to talk about is a tradition out of the Bible that's actually God's Christmas tradition, but it didn't start with Jesus either. In fact, in a lot of ways, this Christmas tradition is the storyline of the Bible. It's Emmanuel, God with us. This is God's Christmas tradition. And and I'd like to talk about that. Whoops. Sorry about that. For a few minutes before I let us go. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Matt talked about the passage in Matthew of Emmanuel. It's going to be the name of Jesus out of that passage in Isaiah. And I'd like to just kind of think about this a little bit, about what this Christmas tradition is. Listen to John 1, verse 14. And this is the Gospel of John talking about this Christmas tradition. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there is Jesus taking on human skin and bones and living with us, dwelling with us. God becoming man. So there's seven times that I see this tradition happening. There's probably more. I'm only going to give you seven. And don't panic. It's only going to be a little bit on each one. So this is not going to be a long thing. I know we got a lot of kids here who are thinking about something other than what I'm talking on about. So, but the first one is the Garden of Eden, where God created these people, and then what did he do in the cool of the evening, did it say? He came and walked with them and communed with them, God with them, in a close relationship where they could walk together in whatever form God condescended to come to them, we don't know. But he lived and walked with them in the garden. And then sin came along, didn't it? They disobeyed him. And they were alienated and separated from him. And how was God going to be with his people when sin separated them and his holiness could not exist with their sinfulness and humanity. That brings us to Mount Sinai, the second time where this God with us theme comes up. God had chosen the people of Israel and brought them out of Egypt. That's a long story, too much for us tonight. And he had brought them to Sinai, his mountain, where he was going to talk to them and he was going to tell them how he wanted them to live as his people so that he could be with them and they could be together. And when he showed up, the majesty, the power of what happened, you can see in that picture. The lightning came and the thunder and the voice of God was so overwhelming that the people trembled and they said in great bravery, "You go, Moses. You be the one to get taken in by all that." And Moses alone went to talk with God. And so this first instance of God with man, or the second one, was terrifying as the people realized the magnitude of the God that they had rebelled against at the beginning, and they were coming back into relationship. And so they it didn't work so well. It wasn't too intimate when one is cowering over in the corner, afraid of this deity. So then God brought in the third phase, where he brought in the tabernacle. He was going to live in this tent that you see pictured here, surrounded by this fence, and the priests would offer sacrifices on that little altar, the box right in front of the tent. Sacrifices would be going constantly to pay for the sins of the people so that God could remain in the midst of his people. And that tent sat in the very center of God's people. But you know what? They weren't allowed in. Once a year, only the high priest could actually enter into the tent where God lived. And that was not a good enough solution for God. God with us, his idea was not to have that level of separation. And so, whereas it worked for a long time, it wasn't the ideal. Later on, Solomon, the son of David, in the high point of Israel's history, opens up the temple. This magnificent temple of Solomon, and it's the son of David opening up access for the people to come to God. So many pictures of Jesus in this event. And the text tells us that when God filled the temple, his cloud was so intense that everybody had to leave as God came to live in that building in the midst of his people, God with them. And yet really it wasn't a whole lot more intimate, was it? They weren't allowed into the building. They didn't have a close relationship with him. And the best that the Old Testament could do was to have God living with his people in his temple in their midst. But that wasn't the kind of relationship that God wanted with the people that he had made. And that brings us to tonight, to Jesus in Bethlehem. The next time that we see Emmanuel, God with us, it's not majestic clouds and temples. It's not mountains quaking with God's power. It is a helpless baby born in a manger. That Jesus became one of us, and he became one who walked with us, with humanity. And he did it so that he could save humanity. He did it so that he could become the one who saves their people from their sins. He seems kind of humble there, but we have to remember what Zach and Sarah and Joe read to us. No other baby has altered the constellations so that some star could appear. No other baby born had the heavens filled with angels celebrating this birth. This one was special. We beheld his glory, John says. Glory of the only Son from the Father. This is how God was going to solve this problem of separation. This is how he was going to be with us intimately. And this Jesus took on humanity, and he took on more than that. He came so that he could take on our sins, so that the rebellion and the separation that happened so long ago could finally be solved once and for all, not by animals on a box in front of that tabernacle, but by Jesus himself, God become man, taking on all of our sins and paying for them. But he didn't stop there. after he died as that perfect sacrifice, he rose again, and now he has life to give. Life to give to those who follow him. In fact, John, just a verse or two before what I read, said, all who do receive him, who believe in his name, to those he gives the right to become children of God. Jesus came at the middle point of this tradition to solve the problem of separation, to make this God with us, not something where God was here but separate, but God could be with us. And in that sense, Jesus really isn't the end of this. He solves the problem. But what he really wanted, what God really was after, is what comes next. That because Jesus takes on our sins and then turns around and gives us his holiness, his rightness, his justice, it means that we are back in right relationship with God, and God then sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of his people. That is God with us taken to a whole new level, isn't it? In a real way, Jesus became one of us so that we could become like him, humans who have God living in him. We're kind of miniature imitations of him. That's God with us. That's the tradition that God was after. And the fullness of it is when he comes again. For some who don't believe him, it will be another terrifying event like way in the back, in the beginning. But for those of us who follow Jesus, who know him as our King and our Savior, and who trust in the fact that he has forgiven our sins and he has given life and he is the one way back to a right relationship with the Father, it means that we will be with him forever in his presence, lived in by him, part of God's very family, the Trinity, children of God. That is the Emmanuel Christmas tradition that God is after in the storyline of the Bible. That's what we celebrate tonight, that this baby came to do that. And if any of you would love to talk about that with me, I would love for you to do it, because that is the greatest message of them all. So perhaps for you, you know, your view of God might fall along this continuum of the fearful, terrifying deity of Sinai, or maybe the helpless, undemanding baby of Bethlehem. But the truth is, all of these pictures reveal a little bit about God, don't they? A God who made us, a God who loves us, a God who cannot and will not tolerate sin, but who at the same time is willing to become one of us and suffer for us so that he might save us for himself, for that intimate God with us relationship. So please, enjoy all the fun of the Christmas traditions and everything that Christmas brings, but also please see with clarity that God's concern in this time is his tradition of being with and in the people that his Son has saved. And he made it possible by his death and by his resurrection. What joy we have with this Christmas tradition. God with us. And so with that, I leave you. Merry Christmas.